You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, October 27th, 2025. Grandpa Dan, RadioAlbion.com. We are looking at having a normal week, hopefully. Hopefully this week at Radio Albion, Dr. Johnson should be back in action this week. I know y'all missed his content last week. It's just unforeseen circumstances come up. This is one of the downsides of it just being the two of us here is, you know, something happens to one, it affects the whole limited programming. As I hinted to, we're looking at getting upgraded hopefully in the very near future. So I do again thank y'all for your patience and bearing with us. We know it's been a long, tough road here. And again, thank you for sticking with us. And again, we should be back to normal this week. And since we're back to normal, that means Daily Mail Monday edition of the Daily Nationalist. We're going to look at some stories. It's tough. Lots of celebrity news and royal family stuff in today's edition of the Daily Mail, and I always skip those, as you well know. But I still was able to find us some various things. I've got quite a few pulled up here. I'm sure we won't get into all of them, but I may wind up hitting some of the high spots and getting to more variety of stories and a little less in depth, because some of this stuff doesn't really merit getting really in-depth about, but we'll see how it goes. Our first story is headlined, America's Looming Hunger Crisis Divides Nation. 40 million to lose SNAP food aid amid government shutdown. Yes, in case you didn't know, the U.S. government is kind of sort of shut down right now. You can be excused if you didn't notice. It's easy to forget about. And because people have forgotten about it, and honestly, most people really don't care, they're doing their best to hype it up now. You know, it's not getting the traction it once got, the drama, the excitement. So they're trying to ramp it up. There's lots of news stories the last couple of days have been popping up, you know, about we have air traffic controllers. You ever notice that when they have one of these government shutdowns, if you're old enough to have been through quite a few of these, as I have, these government shutdowns, they never highlight, you know, oh my gosh, you know, these government workers are missing from the Department of Agriculture because no one gives a shit. They always try to hype something like, oh, they're short of air because of the shutdown. We're short of air traffic controllers and we're going to have a disaster at any minute. See how this affects you. And now they're doing this, the SNAP benefits, the EBT, what we used to call food stamps or welfare, is going to run out on the 1st of November. And then what? You can't help but whenever you read these stories, the implicit implication that they're doing here, and it's obvious. This isn't me trying to conjure something up. You all know when you read this, what's underlying. Yeah, they don't say it, but they imply it. It's there's an implied threat here, isn't there? What they say when they do this is they're trying to imply that black people might riot. That's what they're saying. I'll say it. Y'all know me. I don't care. I'll say the quiet part out loud, because what they're saying here, and they won't come out and say, I just wish they'd come out and say it. I wish they would come out and say, if y'all don't do something about the government shutdown, these EBT benefits aren't going to get issued on the 1st, and black people are going to riot and burn the city down. What are you going to do? At least they would be being honest. Now, whether that implication is true or not, you know, that's up to whoever wants to, you know, you can come to your own conclusions. But they're implying this, but they're too big of a, they won't just come out and say it. If this is what you want to say, come out and say it. Just say, look, if y'all don't do something about the EBTs being issued, black people are going to riot and burn the cities. What are you going to do? Instead, they dance around it. they dance around and try to imply that, you know, oh, this is, we're just talking about, we're worried about people starving. Hey, nobody gonna starve to death because the EBT hasn't been issued. Let's go ahead and read a little bit of this article. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. Americans have been left divided over an announcement that millions are set to lose access to food benefits next month amid the government shutdown, which, again, most people haven't even noticed. They've tried to gin up drama. They're talking, like I say, they're talking about air traffic controllers. They never talk about all of the, you know, wide army of useless parasites that work for the government. Nobody, you know, because nobody will be sympathetic. So they always try to whip something up that you will actually care about. In a notice posted to the U.S. Department of Agriculture's website Sunday, the government blamed Democrats for not voting to fund the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP. Bottom line, the well is run dry, read the announcement. At this time, there will be no benefits issued November 1st. We're approaching an inflection point for Senate Democrats. They can continue to hold out for health care for illegal aliens and gender mutilation procedures, or reopen the government so mothers, babies, and the most vulnerable among us can receive critical nutrition assistance. The Trump administration reportedly declined to tap into the approximately $5 billion in contingency funds to cover SNAP costs amid the second longest shutdown in U.S. history. Now, I have a question here, because without getting into people's personal opinion, because the rest of the article gets into how different people feel about, you know, the SNAP program, you know, and you know, these conservative influencers say these deadbeat welfare people need to just get off. Why are we feeding them? Why are we paying for this in the first place? You know, why are we doing this? These people can go get a job. And that's all well and good. Look, I'm not. You know me, I try to speak the truth. I want to speak the truth and look at things in the big picture. These conservative commentators that are like, well, these people ought to be going out and getting jobs. They're deadbeats. You know, they could work. They could work and go buy their own food. Why are they on the welfare? And again, that's all well and good. But I think the follow-up question that comes to everybody's mind when they see some conservative influencer say this is, okay, now do Israel, right? These people, you know, because I always tell people, I always refer to it, one of the ways I refer to Israel is, you know, America's biggest welfare queen. Okay, you say these people are deadbeats and they could go get a job. And quit getting on welfare, food stamps, SNAP. They keep changing the name of it, you know, in an attempt so that it won't have negative connotations. That's all well and good. You know, I don't have a problem that you view it that way. But now do Israel. You know, if you're going to say, on the one hand, we shouldn't be giving money to these people who, you know, because the taxpayers or whatever, then do Israel. And then you could be, you can honestly say you're standing on principle. If you say, I don't think the government should be giving out money to welfare queens, do Israel, and then you'll be at least consistent. And A, the question never seems to get asked. And B, we all instinctively know the answer, don't we? We know, whoa, it's our greatest ally. We so if you're about the truth, you're going to have some consistency. These people don't have, that's the way they lack credibility, because they lack consistency. They'll sit there, it's an easy target. These people, and again, they won't just say what they mean, because they largely mean black people. You know, I mean, it's the unspoken part. You know, on the one hand, you have Team D over here that does this implication that, you know, if y'all don't do something about the shutdown, black people are going to riot. You know, you have that on this one side. And again, they won't say that, but it's, the implication is clear. That's what, when you hear these stories, read these stories, that's what you're supposed to take away. But then on the Team R side, you have these people that come out and act like they're being so edgy, you know, bold. And talking about these welfare people shouldn't be getting, and they mean black people, by and large, not all. I'm obviously, you know, I'm not saying only black people are getting this, but that's what they're talking about. They just won't say it. Speaking of government shutdowns, governments being in a mess, let's jump to our next story. Argentina's state-slashing president, Milei, wins landslide. He just got his ass handed an election recently, like a month ago. All of a sudden, we have a landslide. Landslide midterm elections after 2 years of chainsaw austerity and spending cuts. Remember when they started pushing this guy? Now they're kind of back pushing him again. I remember our own Dr. Johnson, when they were having this election, this guy got elected. Our own Dr. Johnson here on Radio Alvin did a very, very good show. I believe it was, I can't remember if it was on his Orthodox Nationalist or on his Daily Nationalist, on Milei. Because they hype this guy, and they do in this article, we'll see it a little bit here in a minute. You know, is this libertarian third way, this guy is coming in and he's going to do something absolutely different. And Dr. Johnson just absolutely took a chainsaw himself to an academic chainsaw to this lying narrative. And I remember these things, and basically everything Matt said has come true. You know, it has borne fruit. And we've seen it. Argentina's libertarian president, Javier Milei, won decisive victories in key districts in midterm elections on Sunday, clinching a crucial vote of confidence that strengthens his ability to carry out his radical free market experiment with billions of dollars of backing from the Trump administration. Does that seem a little contradictory to you? His free market experiment, for one thing, how would you like to be living there, citizen of Argentina, and you're going to be part of an experiment? So it's a free market experiment with billions of dollars in backing from the U.S. Does that make sense to you? Because it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And an election widely seen as a referendum on Milei's past 2 years. See, the last election he got his ass handed to him a month ago, that wasn't a referendum. This one's a referendum. You always spot the narrative angles in these stories. A referendum on Milei's past 2 years in office, his upstart La Libertad Avanza party scored over 40% of votes compared to 31% for the left-leaning populist opposition movement known as Peronism, exceeding analysts' projection. Milei, a key ideological ally of U.S. President Donald Trump, said his party and allied blocs picked up 14 seats in the Senate and 64 in the lower house of Congress on Sunday, bolstering the government's support in the legislature through enough to uphold presidential vetoes and block impeachment efforts. At La Libertad Avanza headquarters late Sunday in downtown Buenos Aires, a beaming Milei hailed the election sweep as a mandate to press forward with his spending cuts and introduce ambitious tax and labor reforms. Now, it's funny how they don't really get into the meat of his reforms. And again, Dr. Johnson did such a good job on this. You know, they use these, oh, he's libertarian, he's doing an experiment. You know, we read that earlier. His experiment in this free market. His reforms, his so-called experiment, his so-called grand libertarian ideas, you know what it is. If you follow this at all, it's more of the same. It's IMF loans. We already read where billions of dollars backed by the Trump administration for his wonderful free market new third way, right? More austerity, more IMF, more putting the country under austerity and IMF pressure, more coming in line. This is more of the same. I mean, if this guy is some sort of revolutionary new way, then all he's doing is copying Greece because it's the same formula. Oh, but he's a libertarian, and he's doing this this grand experiment and trying to turn this country around with this radical free market, which just means more of what's left of the country being plundered. It's all theater. I keep coming back. This is why I don't care about politics. I talk about it because I think it's worth pointing out the truth, but I don't care about it. Because when you realize all of this stuff is just theater, you know, and they write these scripts and they put these actors forward. And you had this guy with his stupid chainsaw running around. I remember I laughed because one of the pictures when he was running for office, you know, and he was, they would put him up there on stage and he'd have this chainsaw because he's going to take chainsaw to government waste. He didn't tell everybody he was going to take chainsaw to their health care. He was going to take a chainsaw to their standard of living, which was already suffering, if he would have told them that. But in the picture, he's holding this chainsaw and he's holding it by the kickback. If you've ever run a chainsaw, you know what I'm talking about. He's not holding it by the handle in the front that you hold with your left hand if you're right-handed like normal people are. No offense to left-handed people. You know, normally you hold it with your right hand and you do the trigger with your right hand. And you hold the guard, you know, you hold the handle with the left hand. He didn't even have enough sense to hold it by the handle. He's holding it by the kickback guard, which kicks out and stops it if it as a safety device. That's what he's holding. But I don't even know how to hold a chainsaw. These people are actors. In every facet. Oh, this guy has been cast in the role of radical libertarian reformer. And his radical libertarian reforms mean coming under the IMF, imposing austerity, cutting everything. You're going to privatize everything, which means the oligarchs and the corporations come in and buy up everything for pennies on the dollar. And everybody else gets no health care and a continued decimated standard of living. It's an experiment. It's an experiment. I wonder how this experiment will turn out. Could it be it's going to turn out the same as it always does? Stay tuned. We'll find out. Anyway, move on to our next story. I'm going to hit several things today. We had our story earlier about the government shutdown, but not everything is shut down in the government. Law enforcement is continuing. We got the ICE agents doing these massive deportations. Actually, it's not very massive. But they are, those who criticize what ICE is doing, these deportations, they may be missing, maybe they're missing the point. Maybe what ICE is doing is focusing on quality over quantity, They're getting those who pose a real threat and a real danger to the American way, Maybe that's what's going on. Our next story, headline, UK citizen Sami Hamdi detained by ICE for supporting terrorism on American soil. You already know where this is going, aren't you? Don't you? A British man has been detained by American immigration officials for his, quote, support of terrorism, unquote, according to a top U.S. immigration official. Sami Hamdi describes himself on Twitter, which I refuse to refer to as X, as a commentator on Middle East and North Africa issues, an advisor to companies and stakeholders, as well as the managing director of the International Interest. Department of Homeland Security spokeswoman Tricia McLaughlin shared Sunday that Hamdi's visa was revoked and he is in ICE custody pending removal. McLaughlin also added on her Twitter post that under President Trump, those who support terrorism and undermine American national security will not be allowed to work or visit in this country, adding it's common sense. He was arrested by ICE at San Francisco International Airport on Sunday morning. Now, maybe Tricia McLaughlin is right, If he supports terrorism and undermining American national security, we've got to protect America in the American way. Wonder what sort of things this guy has been up to. Oh, wait, we got it right here in the next paragraph. Hamdi frequently posts anti-Israel content on his social media and has been featured on reputable TV stations speaking about his opinion on Hamas and the conflict in the Middle East. It's also tiring. It is. It is tiring. I live here in America. It's tiring living in an obvious vassal state to Israel. That's what we live in. Well, you can call it Zog. You can call it whatever you want to. It's very tiresome that we live in this great big country that goes around on the one hand, shall we say, stick waving. I almost used a more vulgar term. Stick waving on the world stage as the last remains, the one superpower, the global hegemon. You got to do what we say. Listen, America's speaking. Y'all sit down and shut up. On the one hand, you have this. But then on the other hand, you have this obvious fact that the U.S. is a great big thing. It's just a vassal state to this little tiny country in the Middle East. There are undoubtedly criminal elements that are here illegally. What about these Indians? You know, there's another story I passed on. Yet another Indian truck driver, illegal alien, was given a CDL, commercial driver's license, in California and crashed in and killed a bunch of people again. You know, well, yeah, after the fact, they arrest the guy. But why wasn't he getting rounded up by ICE? No, this is what is a priority for ICE. You see, this guy posts anti-Israel content. You keep coming back to the quote, you know, if you want to know who rules over you, see who you're not allowed to criticize. It's pretty obvious who you're not allowed to criticize. If this guy was going around doing anti-Hamas posts, I wonder if he would have been detained by ICE. And look, I'm being upfront here. I don't know anything about this guy. I don't care. This guy may be a real asshole. That's not the point. The point is, as soon as you start the article, you know why. You know why he's been rounded up. Because of anti-Israel posts. I was talking to somebody recently, you know, and I was pointing out that even with the control of the media and the bought and paid for politicians and this mass ability with Hollywood and whatnot, with this media influence, we've kind of hit a critical point to where Israel's behavior is so bad that you can't not notice it. And moreover, the fact that support among the population in America, much less worldwide, for Israel is plummeting because people see what they are, what they're doing. And yet, in contrast to this, in these democracy countries, you have these politicians standing up there acting like they've got a mandate from the people to slobber all over these, you know, all over Netanyahu. It is really in your face now. And you know, propaganda and media influence only goes so far. You know, you can tell people, you can put all the media stories up you want to that says the economy is great, but when people don't have any money and can't afford anything, you know, you're not fooling anybody. And that's how it's gotten with this whole Israel nonsense. That speech of Trump before the Knesset, bragging about how Miriam Adelson just comes and goes to the White House however she wants and how she loves Israel and how he does basically anything she tells him to. And yet, when you or I, or maybe this guy, I don't know anything about this guy, point this out, it's anti-Semitism. When Trump brags about it, he's a great friend to Israel. It does. It gets tiresome living in a vassal state to Israel. And we're supposed to keep buying into this. We're supposed to keep buying into this system. That's the expectation. We're supposed to keep buying into and supporting this stupid system. Now, I want to touch on a couple other articles. I'm doing, like I said at the beginning, I'm doing more than I normally do. Looks like we'll hit, I'm aiming for five today and just kind of hitting these five a little more briefly. Usually we wind up around three. I get a little more in depth. Honestly, most of the stuff isn't that interesting. I mean, it is. I wouldn't be talking about it if it wasn't interesting. But I mean, there's only so much you can say about it. Shocking map. This is our next story. Shocking map reveals where power-hungry data centers could spark next public health disaster in the U.S. Now, the public health disaster thing, they're getting into this carbon bullshit, you know, this climate change nonsense. We can discard that. There is going to be a problem because of the amount of electricity they're going to use and the amount of water they're going to use to cool these super servers, all these big servers down at these data centers. That is going to be a public problem. The climate change shit, that's just bullshit. But the rest of it, you know, and this gives me an opportunity to bring up something I brought up before. And I want to bring it up again because I think there's a lot of misdirection when it comes to these data centers. A growing network of at least 5,000 data centers across the U.S. is becoming a hidden public health threat, scientists have warned. 5,000 data centers. We function, again, we don't have any money, supposedly. We have money for this. We got money for Israel always. but data centers. It's data centers. That is because the energy-hungry backbone of artificial intelligence pumps out dangerous pollutants. No, it doesn't. But this is the thing. They keep coming back to this artificial intelligence, and I think that's a red herring. I really do. Let's continue real quick. Researchers say that as demand for AI and cloud computing surges, pollution from diesel generators that keep these facilities operating could soon rival emissions from entire industries, with Caltech estimating 1,300 premature deaths. That's bullshit. We'll skip that. The backup generators used to maintain uptime during power failures often are diesel-powered, releasing clouds of fine particle pollution that spread across state lines. Again, a lot of bullshit that doesn't matter, but you have to read between the lines here. I'll stop here. They have backup generators used to maintain uptime during power failures because, you see, it's going to be so important that you can keep using AI to generate, you know, a cat riding a bicycle video or some horse shit. If you believe that, then you should seriously reconsider your level of intelligence. I'm being generous here. To modify myself not to be too offensive. Really, if you believe that's what they're going to these great lengths for, because everybody's got to have their AI. Now, they're building these things, and we don't have the power grid. You know, people pointed this out with the stupid electric car nonsense, that the power grid doesn't exist. They're building these 5,000 data centers, supposedly so you can make AI cat-generated videos. You know, AI-generated cat videos. There we go. It's so important. But they're building these things, and we don't have the power grid to support them because they're going to use a lot of power. A lot of power. And when they bring the grid down, because that's where you're going to have, when they have power failures, not from a thunderstorm. They're going to have power failures because they're going to overload the grid, and you're going to have a massive blackout in the areas from you can only pull so much. They're going to be going around telling everybody, oh, you need to turn your thermostat up because, you know, high electricity. We get that here. You know, in the summertime, it gets real hot here in Texas. And they'll come out and tell everybody on the local news, you need to turn your thermostats up to 78 or some nonsense and sweat because the grid can't handle it. And you're going to get this even more so with these data centers, because they're building them here in Texas, too. You're going to have this with these data centers. The data centers aren't going to slow down, are they? You're going to be expected to sweat your privates off in the summertime. We'd turn your thermostat up so the data centers can run. But it's still with that. They're anticipating overloading the grid, bringing the grid down, having a massive blackout, but we got to keep the data center going, so they kick the backup generators. Are you going to get backup generators? Only if you buy it yourself. And then you're going to have to be careful because, you know, there's all kinds of government regulations. Spend a bunch of money, put up your backup generator. So there's been several stories here recently in these very, you know, with these blackouts and the grid. And all these things, I keep seeing these ads on TV encouraging people to, you know, completely make their home into smart homes. You know, you got your Ring cameras and your smart thermostat and all of this. And again, if you think that's a good idea, you too could be an NPC. I mean, you just, you know, and they show these people sitting around happily, just carefree in their home. Because you see, they're doing the smart setup. Their thermostat adjusts itself and the Ring camera's keeping them safe, and it's so great. There were stories I remember back in the summer, and people came home and found their house sweltering hot because the smart thermostat had turned itself up while they were gone. They didn't program it to do that. It just did it. And then when they went to turn it down, it wouldn't turn down. They weren't allowed because there's too much power on the grid. You know, I want to feel sorry for people, but then when they can be so stupid and put the shit in their house and then sit there and whine and cry about the outcome, I have a hard time. Now, the reason I wanted to do this story again, because this whole thing about these data centers are for AI, that's bullshit. Again, that's easy. I'm not, saying that, like, look how smart I am. I'm saying that, like, this is so obvious. Anyone should say it, but they keep pushing this, oh, this is for the AI. And that's bullshit. You know, most people say, yeah, it's because, you know, they're going to do this whole, you know, digital surveillance thing. That's where the Palantir thing. And yeah, I'm sure that's a big part of it. I agree. That's a big part of it. I said this before, and I'll say it again. I believe what this is the infrastructure for the government digital currency. I really do. Because you think about, I've said this, you know, and I'm sorry if you've heard this before and you're like, this is a repeat, but I only think I said it once, and I want to repeat it here because I do think it's very, very, very important. If you're familiar with how, say, Bitcoin operates, and most of you probably are, but, you know, Bitcoin has to be, quote unquote, mined. It has to be processed. When you can't counterfeit Bitcoin. If you have some Bitcoin and you send it to somebody else, you can't make up a string of code, Bitcoin code, and pass it off as real because it goes through this verification process that eats up a lot of computational computer power. Takes a lot of power to, quote unquote, mine Bitcoin. People don't know anything about Bitcoin. They picture like a virtual miner digging in a mine somewhere to dig up a piece of Bitcoin. That's not what it is. It's processing it. All the Bitcoin transactions, when you buy or sell it, it's all verified that it's legitimate from the original code. Now, when they issue a government digital currency, it's going to have to be basically on the same block, you know, same type of blockchain setup. Otherwise, people can counterfeit it, right? That makes sense. Now, the reason Bitcoin won't ever become actual currency being used on a day-to-day basis, and again, most of you probably know this, is because when you send Bitcoin, so like you send Bitcoin to somebody, it can take hours or even days, depending on how much you're willing to pay out in mining fees to verify it. So it could take up to a day or so to go through. Well, if you go to the grocery store and buy your groceries, they're not going to take your Bitcoin and wait a day to find out if it's any good, if it's real. It's going to be, when they come out with a digital currency, it's going to have to be like using your debit card. You're going to have to be able to plug it in, and it's going to have to be virtually instant. You know, it's going to have to be virtually instant when it comes to verification so that you can use it as an actual currency. Again, that's why you can't use Bitcoin as a widespread currency, because it takes too long to verify. That's the thing that keeps it from becoming, you know, adopted as an alternative currency, because it takes too damn long. You know, even in your private, it's fine if you want to send, you know, if you were to send Sven Longshanks, so, you know, so Bitcoin, doesn't matter. It takes a year. It takes a day or two to verify and complete, because he's not buying anything from you, or you're not buying anything from him. You're just donating something. If you're buying something, somebody shows up to your house, you got something, you know, for say you're selling your car, and somebody sees your ad for your car, and they come to buy your car, and they go to pay you in Bitcoin, what are you going to do? Tell them they can come pick up the car, you know, in a day or so when the Bitcoin verified? Nobody's going to do business. It's got to be instant. A government digital currency, a central bank digital currency, and they're openly talking about implementing this. So this isn't crazy conspiracy talk. You know, they're talking about issuing a central bank issued digital currency. It's going to have to be, to prevent counterfeiting, it's going to have a similar blockchain set up to verify that it's real. And that is going to take, for it to be an instant transaction, that is going to take massive, massive, massive amounts of computing power. And I think, you know, when they go to implement this, the infrastructure is not going to pop up overnight. I believe a big part of these data centers is that they're building the data centers so that when they implement it, they have the ability to put it into practice. You can't just say, we're going to do a digital currency, and 5 years from now, we'll have a data centers built. They'll be able to process it. But in the meantime, y'all go ahead and use cash. Okay. They're going to do it that way. They're going to implement it, and bam, the infrastructure will be in place. I think this whole AI nonsense, that's just because if they say we're building these massive data centers for digital, you know, a central bank digital currency, people say, we don't even want that. So why are we doing it? Why are we going to sit around in the heat in a blackout so you can have a digital currency and control everything everybody does? And see, the digital currency, the central bank digital currency aspect of it, that's not even, you know, that's not saying, how do I want to put it? That's not unrelated to the Palantir. That's not to say, oh, well, you're saying it's not for, you know, this Palantir AI-powered digital surveillance. No, the two go hand in hand. You know, they're basically two sides of the same coin. Because when the Palantir AI-driven surveillance network says you're a bad thinker, they can't use ICE to deport you because you're an American citizen. They can't use ICE to deport you because you dared to say something negative about Israel. But what they can do is limit your digital currency. Shut your digital currency down or fine you. You know, and you don't have the option of saying, you know, say if you have $5,000 in your digital currency wallet, and they'll just fine you $5,000 for daring to speak about negatively about Israel, our greatest ally ever on the face of the planet in the history of the world, the true friend of mankind. They'll just wipe out your balance. Or better yet, because most people wouldn't have $5,000 in digital currency because the world's poor now. Say you got $300 in your digital currency wallet and you dare to criticize Israel. Well, maybe they'll fine you $5,000. You get paid every week at your shitty job. You know, you get paid $400 a week, $400 a week at your shitty job. They'll fine you $5,000. They'll take your $300 out of your digital wallet. Now you can't buy gas to get to your shitty job. And, yeah, when you get paid every week, when you get paid your $400 a week, they're going to take, say, $250 out of that to go towards your fine for daring to speak out about, you know, negatively about our greatest ally and the friend of humanity that ever existed, Israel, until your $5,000 is paid. You see? To point out the central bank digital currency of these data centers is not to say, is not to the exclusion of the Palantir surveillance grid. The two go hand in hand. You know, because you talk about that and, excuse me, you talk about that and it's like, there has to be a punishment. You may technically not be breaking the law. You can't be deported by ICE if you're not a foreigner. So there has to be other forms of punishment. Get you in line. Stick to whack you with. And like I say, the media keeps hyping these data centers as they're all about AI. That's BS. I mean, that's as believable as you know, a 30-06 got hung in Charlie Kirk's neck of steel or whatever. I mean, that's just obvious BS. I think these data centers, and again, they can't tell you. They said, well, we're doing these data centers for the surveillance grid / central bank digital currency thing. Everybody would be up in arms. So they tell you, no, it's so you can make those AI generated cat videos. So you can make some really top notch AI porn. So, you know, they came out recently and said you're going to be able to use these AI chat deals to do horny talk with the computer. That's not what that's for. They're not spending all of this money so that you can do that. I can assure you of that. Whatever you think they're doing, they're not doing that. Anyway, I was going to do one more story, but I'm looking at the time. We'll go ahead and stop there. The other story wasn't that great anyway. This is just going to be another chance for me to mock the science. Clinging desperately to the evolution theory, which has already been debunked. So we'll just stop there on this note about these data centers. I will be back tomorrow, or I have every intention to be. I haven't recorded it yet. It'll be recorded tomorrow. If it don't show up tomorrow, something tragic has happened. I do have every intention. Be back tomorrow with Parish of the Patriots program. Dr. Johnson should be back Wednesday with his Orthodox Nationalists. As I say, we should be back on our regular schedule, hopefully this week. Dr. Johnson always wraps our week up on Thursdays with his Daily Nationalist, which is always a must listen to. So I hope you'll check all of our programming out this week on Radio Albion. As always, keep the faith. We'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.